Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We look forward to this broadcast each and every day and invite you to invite others to tune in, join in the broadcast, and of all things, let me encourage you, as you join the broadcast each day, we'd love to have you participate in the Q&A, the question and answers, the dialogue, and the discussion. You can do that by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. That's your telephone number. That call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about a very serious issue today, an issue today that has global implications, national ramifications, and ultimate determination of what we will be as a nation. We're asking the question today, is Joe Biden really the president? Is Joe Biden really the president? Ladies and gentlemen, some strange things are taking place in the Beltway of Washington. Biden did very little campaigning. They kept him in the basement. Occasionally, he would have a rally with 6 to 8, 10 people present. Yet we're being told that he won the election by a landslide. But this is the first president in recent history that's not had a State of the Nation address where the president, new president, speaks to the people. He's not had a press conference where he's asked questions. On the occasions that he has started to answer questions, they've summarily cut him off. I mean, literally shut down the microphones and the cameras. And he is sequestered. He is cognitively hampered. And we need to ask the question, who's really the president? What's going on in Washington? What's Joe Biden doing? Who's pulling the strings? Who's making the decisions? Who's writing these executive orders that he's signing? On one occasion, he's signing executive orders. He says, what am I signing? And he was told, just sign. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a very serious quagmire in America. And it calls every Christian, every conservative, every patriot in America to be cognizant of what is happening. And as Christians, praying and asking God to divinely intervene while there's still opportunity for America. We'll be talking about that today and all the ramifications of it that comes from what I believe is a biblical approach to what we're talking about without any reservation. The Bible says that God is immutable. That means he's unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we look at the book of Daniel, how God intervened in the life of some of the kings of that era and changed things because of a prideful arrogance and thumbing the nose at God, we must ask the question, what will God do today? How is God going to respond today? Is Biden really our president? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's what he said in John 8:31 and 32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further, the dogmatic declaration is made that ought to get our attention when we come to the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Jesus made the declaration, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to make the determination of what we do and what we say and how we respond. It's the truth book. It's the truth of the Word of God. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have so many today that's disdaining the truth, denying the truth, dissing, as the world calls it, the truth. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, there's a great churning in our nation and around the globe. We've gotten to the point and place that we could say that Isaiah 5, verse 20 and following is in reality, that right is called wrong and wrong is called right. That's where we are. This is the reason I believe that even with a secularist, as George Orwell, back in the writing of his book called 1984, the fictional dystopian writing that he put forth, projecting 1984 and what the world would look like. He missed it by a few years. It's happening heavily in 20 and 21. But George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And if you've not experienced that today, ladies and gentlemen, I am surprised. Because as we stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and stand for truth, there'll be those that ridicule, laugh, and mock, make fun, and diss and discourage as a result of standing on truth. But I commend it. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a very powerful statement in relationship to truth. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's what God's calling on us to do today. I believe that's the reason as Christians today, we need to recognize what's happening in Washington. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be vocal, be visible, and not cower into the closet and fail to take a stand. This is the reason I say we need to be, especially as pastors, preachers, teachers, Christian leaders, and Christians in general, we need to be the watchman on the wall warning of dangers ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, is Joe Biden really the president today? We're going to talk about some things that should cause us to ask that question very seriously. And it should cause us to go before God and ask God to intervene and save America before it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions. Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff to answer your questions about power backup generation equipment. They can answer all of your questions about professional landscape lawn care equipment. Tools for Time can answer your questions, ladies and gentlemen, provide the answers and the directions that's needed for the homeowner that's looking for the landscape lawn care equipment for his home. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's Old St. Augustine Road at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That's where the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flying. Find that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just before we take our first caller, I want to get to a point that sets the stage for what we're wanting to do, then entertain your calls. Ladies and gentlemen, for all of you that may think that the Biden administration and all the Joe Biden handlers are getting away with the destruction of our foundation as a nation, we must not give up. Let me challenge you. Don't give up. Don't toss in the towel. Don't wave the white flag. We must recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that God's still on the throne. We must understand that God's not asleep. He's not on vacation. God's not dead. God's not sitting back wondering what can he do because this whole world's out of control. Don't you dare believe that one moment. God's not impotent. God's not asleep. God's not, it's not impossible for God to move. God will not, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe God will allow Joe Biden and his socialist, Marxist, communist agenda to stay in control. I don't believe that it will happen. I believe that we'll see some major tectonic changes taking place in the Beltway in Washington in the next 90 days at the most. And by the way, lest you think otherwise, I take the position that Amos did, the little book of Amos. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But I can see, as the old cliche goes, I can see the handwriting on the wall, and we'll talk about that in a moment, in Daniel, the fifth chapter. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we see that handwriting today. And I believe that God is going to move and God is in the control, even as what we're seeing. Perhaps you recall, let me set the stage. Perhaps you recall the events of Daniel, the fifth chapter, where we read the story of King Belshazzar and the how God took his throne away and God killed him, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the story, as you find in the scripture. That is what the Bible says. But ladies and gentlemen, what did Belshazzar do? Let me just read a few verses in the fifth chapter of Daniel. We'll set the stage, then we'll answer some questions for our callers. Scripture says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and the concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and their wives and their concubines drank in them. Verse 4 of chapter 5 says, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. And at the same hour came forth the finger of a man's hand and wrote against the candlesticks upon the pilaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw that part of the hand that wrote. When the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against the other. Ladies and gentlemen, simply put, the king was petrified. He was frightened to death. He took the vessels that was out of the temple of God, took those vessels and used them for a riotous, a sensual bash in his palace. He literally thumbed his nose in God in that drunken bash. And the Bible records that in the same hour, God's handwriting on the wall told the king, as you look in the balance of the text, told the king that he had been weighed in the balance and found wanting, that is lacking. And he took the throne, divided the kingdom, and killed the king. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you say, preacher, are you saying that that's what God's going to do to Joe Biden? No, but I'm saying that God's still in the same position of authority and the same control. I don't know what God's going to do with Joe Biden, but I can tell you it's my opinion, my most humble opinion, that Joe Biden will not be the president by June, July, August at the latest of this year. I believe God is actively involved, and we're going to look at some of the things today in this broadcast and talk about some of the handwriting on the wall that we're seeing coming out of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the same party that Joe Biden is in, and setting the stage to remove him from his kingdom, to remove him from his throne, to remove him from the Oval Office. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Joseph, go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, sir, Pastor. The question is, Joe Biden really the president? I know what you're saying, but legally, yes, until legally removed, the courts must be made to hear and evaluate the evidence for a stolen election. I have no doubt Nancy Pelosi will soon make an attempt to remove Biden due to dementia or Alzheimer's. She will try to force the issue with medical and cognitive testing because I think she knows probably better than most people what the real situation is with him. So that was my comments.
Well, Joseph, you're exactly right. Hang on a moment. Let's have some dialogue on that. Let me just simply add some little, if you please, fodder to the fire. I believe that they've known this all along. It's not something that's happened just since he was elected. I believe that they've known this since they put him up as the Manchurian candidate, since he became the Trojan horse. I believe it's an impossibility for Joe Biden to have gotten the sweeping 80 million plus votes as they claimed that he got. As you know, and as I know, and as most of our listeners know, it was the Dominion software, it was the Dominion hardware, it was the Dominion voting machines that put Joe Biden in office. That was all manipulated by the leftist, socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party in America. And I believe that, Joseph, that you understand, and I believe that we agree that Joe Biden is the false, phony Manchurian candidate that was put in office by a coup to overthrow the United States government and to destroy our constitutional republic as we know it today. But when you talk about Joe Biden's dementia or Alzheimer's, why do you think the Democrats would have put him in office? Why do you think they wanted him as candidate? What are your thoughts in relationship to the motive behind the man and the presidency that he's gained?
Because he's a white man with association with Obama. He looks like a regular American presidential candidate. He was a moderate years ago, but he sold his, he sold out to the devil, in my opinion. And he's just, like you said, he's just being used and guided. And he was, you know, I don't think the country's ready to vote for another socialist or, you know, Obama. He made out like he was a moderate, but it was all a lie. And it's just too bad that the American people swallow the mainstream media's, you know, their outlook on things.
Yes, sir. Joseph, you're exactly right. And one of the things that I want to challenge our listeners today to do is not wave the flag of defeat, not wave the white flag of surrender, but to keep on standing up, speaking up, being heard, being seen. And most of all, Joseph, I challenge everyone listening today, pick up your telephone and call the U.S. Senate's office. The telephone number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And talk to your senator. I understand that if you try to go online and try to talk to any of the senators online, that you'll be redirected and telling you that you can't talk with that senator. You've got to put in your email address, and you're not your email address, your zip code, and you can only talk with your senator for your zip code. And it's absolutely trying to sequester the people and prevent the people from being now able to have a voice. But Joseph, thank you so much for your call today. Brother, God bless you, and thank you for calling. And keep on looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the very serious question, the question that has national, international, global consequences. Is Joe Biden really the president? Do we have some figures behind the scene? Do we have powers behind the scene that's running the Oval Office today? Do we have those that's in charge that have not been elected, that have not been the ones that were set forth as political candidates, but are bureaucrats behind the scene that's making the decisions along with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer? Are we seeing the replay of what God has done in Daniel, the fifth chapter? Let me just read you again some of the verses. And may I remind us that Nebuchadnezzar was king as a result of Nebuchadnezzar having the attitude of brazenness, brashness, and harshness, and that he was in control and that God wasn't. You study the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel, you find that Nebuchadnezzar's throne was taken away. He was put out in the field to wander as a wild animal for some 7 years. Verse 32, the scripture says, in verse 31 and following, Daniel 4, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and shall make thee to eat grass and ice, and oxen seven times shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the fifth chapter of Daniel, beginning with about verse 18, the scripture says, And O thou king, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty they gave him, all the people of the nations and languages and that trembled and feared before him, whom he had slew, whom he would he kept alive, whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart, listen, but when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took him his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast of the field, and his dwelling place as wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible continues reading this way, found in Daniel, the fifth chapter, 18 through 31. And I want to set the stage very firmly, rooted and founded in the biblical text of the Word of God. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all of this. In other words, God's saying, Belshazzar, you knew what Dad went through. what Nebuchadnezzar went through. You knew that it was because of his arrogance and pride before God. You knew that it was because of his position that he had power and authority and thought that he could do whatever he wanted. And the scripture says, Yobel Shazer, thou hast not humbled thy heart, even though thou knewest all of this, that is what had happened with his daddy, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and have brought the vessels into his house before thee, and thou and the lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, and set not, see not, nor hear not, nor knowest not God, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Then was the part of his hand sent forth, and the writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Meaning, meaning, tikal el yusfarsen. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, 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 God has numbered the kingdom and finished it. Tikal, that's T-E-K-E-L, tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And the scripture says then, ladies and gentlemen, that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Medan took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, I want us to understand today that God's still on the throne, that God is still in charge, that God's not going to allow this to take place that we're watching. If God allows it, ladies and gentlemen, it's as a result of God's determining that he's going to judge America with the hand of a heathen that's in control named Joe Biden, by the hand of one that is doing everything that's antithetical to the truth of the Word of God, doing everything that is basically shaking his fist in the face of God and saying it's going to be my way or no way in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, God removed the king. He divided the kingdom because the king believed that he could disobey God, he could disavow God, he could laugh at God, and he believed that he was not answerable to God. But God removed him as king. We're talking about Belshazzar. We're talking about the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel, where God actually took his life. The scripture says in the 30th verse of the sixth chapter, in the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't by happenstance. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't because God is impudent. It wasn't because God is on vacation. It wasn't because God was asleep. It wasn't because God's dead, but simply because God is in control. And may I say to you today that God is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is what is called theologically, doctrinally, biblically, he is immutable, that is unchangeable. And if God did that then, what is God going to do today? I cannot sit here, ladies and gentlemen, and believe that somehow, some way, God's winking at it and God's wondering what he can do. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden is a shell. He is the Trojan horse. Joe Biden is not today, he is not. Listen, Joe Biden is not cognitively able to manage the affairs of America, much less manage the affairs of the communication, the dialogue, and the networking with the leaders of the nations around the world. In fact, it is known today that the vice president, the one that is not even an American U.S.-born citizen, the one that was elected as vice president, today, ladies and gentlemen, is making all the telephone calls, networking with all of the foreign leaders around the world. It's the first time in the history of America that's been done by the vice president rather than by the president himself. That shows a lack of cognitive ability. That shows the understanding of the realization in the White House and all of the leadership that Joe Biden doesn't have the cognitive ability, the prowess and the ability to carry out the task of the president of the United States of America. This is the reason the vice president, ladies and gentlemen, is handling that for him. Joe Biden did not win this election, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, here's an article that tells me, and I've got a fistful of articles about what is happening in the Beltway that's gradually getting ready to pull the trigger on removing Joe Biden from office because of his cognitive inability. Ladies and gentlemen, this article is titled, Congress Moves Again to Limit Joe Biden's Power. The article says, Congress, only weeks into Biden presidency, has taken the second action to limit his authority. The second move to limit presidential war powers follows on the heels of Biden's unilateral decision last week to strike Iran-backed militants in Syria. The first effort to limit his authority came from the House Democrats, who want to ensure that the president consults with aides before launching any nuclear strikes. That is, ladies and gentlemen, they have limited the power of Joe Biden to hold the nuclear codes, as it's called. Generally, it's called talking about the president holding the football. It is the nuclear codes. It is the container that has the nuclear codes in the event of a major catastrophic event on the world scene, that the president would have the power to respond with the war powers, as it's called. This article says the move highlights the concern that Biden is experiencing some kind of cognitive decline. During the campaign, two major polling companies, Zogby and Rasmussen, found high concern among voters. Zogby found that 6 in 10 voters, ladies and gentlemen, believed that Joe Biden was in the early stages of dementia of some kind. Rasmussen found that 38% already thought that he was in decline. Ladies and gentlemen, further, this article states, meanwhile, Democratic Congress members are seeking to remove the president's sole authority to hold the nuclear code. Joe Biden is now the president, this article says. And the former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino said there may be a simple reason that many are afraid to talk about it. Citing his own sources, this is Dan Bongino now, described it as an open secret that Joe Biden is suffering from dementia. It gives me absolutely no joy in saying this, Dan Bongino says, and I mean that he is in real significant trouble. And listen to me, this article says, everyone around him, everyone knows him, said of Biden, everyone knows it, that this is a scandal that they're not telling the public. They're not saying how bad his condition really is. During one recent interview, Biden explained that he wakes up every morning and asks Jill, where are we? More recently, he claimed during a similar online discussion that Indian Americans are taking over the country, end quote. This week, after a Zoom call in which Biden offered to take questions before being shut down by his handlers. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, I've watched the video clip of that. He's sitting at the table, and he's talking by Zoom to Nancy Pelosi, and he said, Nance, whatever you want me to answer, I'll be willing to answer anybody's questions. And all of a sudden, he's shut down. The connection is broken, and he has not communicated since about that. Recently, after scrambling over the names of members of Congress, Biden interrupted himself with, quote, what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here, end quote. And you recall during the 2020 campaign, a super PAC supporting Trump ran an ad asking, quote, does Joe Biden really have the mental capacity to keep America safe? And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the answer to that question today. And the answer to that question is an unequivocal no. Joe Biden is not cognitively qualified. He's not politically qualified. He's not socially qualified. He's not economically qualified. He's not mentally and emotionally qualified to be president, but he's sitting in the office, and we must ask why. We must ask who is handling the controls of the United States of America. Who's in control of the ship that is going forward every day called the president's office? Ladies and gentlemen, it is not Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden is not the real president. He is the Manchurian candidate, as I've called it for some time now. He is the Manchurian president today. He is the Trojan horse. But ladies and gentlemen, he's been brought into the White House, seated in the Oval Office with the title president. But ladies and gentlemen, there are those behind the scenes that's pulling the strings, and Joe Biden is simply the puppet. We're going to talk in a moment right after the broadcast, right after the top of the hour news. We're going to talk about what he is doing as the puppet figure and what it's doing to America and the implications on a global basis. It is imperative that you don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.